Hi there, I'm Wendy, and this is an interview with Ana Maria Vasquez about her book, Nature, Divine Experiences with Trees, Plants, Stones, and Landscapes. You're going to want to stick around. This is basically the kicker for the show. She has her own line of CBD oil products, and what she does that is unique about these products is what you want to find out. All right, worth listening to. Here we go.
It's really about moving nature from this backdrop in our lives to these allies, these powerful, potent allies for us to really have a different experience here on while we're on this planet. And when we are connected in that deep way, we live differently, just naturally. It's not even a trying, it's not a have to, it's none of that. It just is inherent.
Wendy's Coffee House, we're going to take a deep dive into the entire spectrum of nature, the elements, the beings, the experiences, the energy. This is a fantastic book, and I'm going to warn you right off the bat, do not try and read this in one sitting, okay? It's overwhelming. If you're any way sensitive, empathic, you're in for a whopper. The author of Nature, Divine Experiences with Trees, Plants, Stones, and Landscapes, Ana Maria Vasquez. What a great compilation of stories and your own experiences. This is fantastic.
Well, that was the part that lured me in when the publisher approached me about writing a book about nature and these mystical experiences and the possibilities, was that collaborative piece, because that so reflects what's happening in nature, right? When we all do better, we all do better. And so it felt like, of course, it's going to be a book from nature spoken through all these different humans right around the world, and having different interactions and experiences with all of the different aspects of the natural realm, which I have found from the feedback I'm hearing from folks is even just starting to read the book has been creating these amazing experiences for people in nature. So that is pretty exciting.
And this is, honestly, I have not had the opportunity to read a book that is anywhere near this depth with all of the kinds of experiences and just the energy that you connect with. And I think part of it's because your own energy is in sync, and you talk about having this desire to communicate with animals. And that was, you know, this is the core, that's what you want to do. And then it happened by way of a tree. So start with that.
Well, I love it because it's the cosmic bait and switch, right?
The
universe will, you know, follow what our heart's desire is, which for me was this huge heart's desire. I knew I had a connection with animals, but I would not have said I was an animal communicator. In fact, growing up, that wasn't even a word, right? Like, we didn't have that term. But I wanted to have that two-way dialogue, that connection with the animals. And I went through one of those life tsunamis, right, where everything seemingly falls apart. And there I am in the ashes, in the rubble, the aftermath of what used to be my life, saying, okay, now what? And I said, you know, if I have to rebuild my life, which I really don't have much choice at this point, I want to rebuild it from a very deeply connected space. And really living these spiritual principles, these universal laws that I've heard about, but I don't know if they really work or it's just a bunch of nonsense, right? Designed to help us feel better till we get through this. So I took all of these principles deeply into, I call it my living laboratory, right? My life, to see what worked and what didn't. And I'm here to tell you, as the poster child, it worked. I received guidance from a coach to spend 30 days with my hands on a tree and connecting, right? Spending 30 minutes out there with a tree, and for the whole 30 days. And I thought, okay, I got nothing to lose, right? I'm going to try this. And I have to tell you, nothing happened, right? For the first 3 weeks, like, nothing happened. I wasn't hallucinating. I didn't have any amazing lightning. The tree, I didn't feel like the tree was talking to me. but I was committed to the 30 days, if for no other reason than for my skeptic side to be able to say, see, I told you, right? Like, it's just made up stuff.
Shame on you.
Like, so perfect. My human side, that stubborn part, was like, all right, I'm going to do this and I'm going to prove you wrong. And then we can do whatever we want. We can wallow in our misery. So, but I stuck it out for the whole 30 days. And somewhere in that fourth week, I was in my living room inside my home, and I had asked a question out loud. I don't even remember what the question was anymore. I asked it out loud, and I heard audibly an answer. Even though I heard it audibly in that living room, it felt like it was coming from outside, from the tree that I'd been connecting with. And I thought, how is that possible? And I asked the tree, was that you? And I got a yes. And I thought, oh my gosh, I finally had the mental break, right? Like, mm-hmm. I've been through so much. I'm hearing trees, right? Like, and in my humanness, right? Like, that's why I feel like I'm the poster child, because, you know, that aspect of the humanness that shows up. And out of that humanness, the first question that popped out was, well, I don't want to sound ungrateful, but I asked to talk to dogs, right? To animals.
Yes.
I don't know what to do with a talking tree. And the tree chuckled, right? Like, it was amused by me. And she let me know, it's coming. Don't worry. It's coming. This is, you know, part of your energy recalibration. And I really put that tree through the paces, asking questions where I could get verification, you know, to questions I didn't know, but I could get answers in other places. And time and time again, what she shared with me rang true. And it started, right, this amazing, profound relationship with the natural world. And she was right. It wasn't long after she started talking to me that the animals started showing up in really profound ways. And I knew immediately, all right, there's something to this. There's something else going on here. And it's not just me. I'm not just special. All of us humans are wired to have these experiences. And I've been committed to helping humans remember this and unpack that intuitive backpack that allows us to connect with nature.
I love it. I love the wide variety of opportunities to connect in different aspects of nature, whether it's water, whether it's the stones, whether it's the desert, the forest. But there's also another element you talk about. You heard a plant, and I like this too, because I'm familiar with that, the technology that they have that allows you to hear the energy of the plant. And you talk about the singing that you heard.
Oh my goodness. It feels like we don't even know what we don't know yet. We are so on the leading edge of the miraculous with the plant kingdom. So there is a device that has been created that allows us to hear the bioenergetic field of the plant, right? So it turns out the plants are always emitting these harmonics, these actually frequencies and tones, but they're outside of our spectrum that we can hear. So when they connect these machines to the plants, with the plant's permission, of course, because I will tell you, if you don't ask, you may not get anything. So I'm always careful to ask permission. And you put a probe down in the soil, and you put a clip that doesn't harm the plant on one of the leaves of the plant or on the tree. And it will start to transmit that bioenergetic field of the plant into the audible tones that we can hear. And the folks who created this said that at first, the plants realized that their energy is creating those sounds. And so there are certain plants, again, just like people, some of us are more born performers than others, but certain plants will start to realize that they can choose different notes and multiple notes at a time, and they can start to be very intentional about that. And I have witnessed on more than one occasion, but the first time I saw it, talk about mind blown. I watched and listened to a vocalist sing a range of different notes. And when she finished, the plant that was hooked up to the machine, who has been working as a musician for a while, mimicked her note for note. it is just mind blowing. And when we start to think about the possibilities that that creates, and the fact that the plants are always putting out those vibrations, and the more time that we spend in that natural realm, right, with grass or trees or other plants or in our garden, that we are receiving those frequencies, and they help us remember who we are.
When you talk about the trees and your interaction with them, I think, was it Joy, the plum tree? Is that the right one?
There is a story about the plum tree and Joy, but that wasn't my story. That was
yours.
One of the contributing authors.
Yours is Ruby.
Mine is Ruby. Yes. Ruby,
okay.
Ruby.
Yeah, she's the one. And I like that because this is Ruby the red pine.
I know, right? And my humanness again was like, what? That's a little too on the nose. Are you sure you're Ruby the red pine? And sure enough, she really was.
All right. So now with the plum tree, and this is there are several stories. So different people have, they're sharing their events. And this one was that basically the same story as you. That person was asking, what do I do about this? What's my next step? Asking answers from a tree. Now, that isn't something we normally consider a remote possibility.
No, in fact, the trees kind of think it's funny and they chuckle all the time. And they're like, you humans, you spend a lot of time asking questions, asking for help, show me a sign, yada, 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 you know, all of those pieces. But we spend very little time listening for an answer. And when we connect in with the trees, that's the time we can receive those answers. And what I love about that story about healing Joy with the plum tree is it not only demonstrated yet again how the natural realm wants to support us in our own journeys, but how she, Jill was the author's name. All of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, which author was that? Jill was actually able to affect the tree and the tree's energy. And we forget that we have that power. And what a beautiful symbiotic relationship we can be having with the natural world that sources us, not just in our imagination, but actually in our everyday life. So those are some of the possibilities that I felt like the contributing stories added. And it's like, you know, no one could run that 4-minute mile until someone did it. And then people could do it. And it's the same thing. As we read these stories, we're either reminded of our own experiences or those experiences start to show up.
It was a story, Dan Kavanaugh, I got that. And I liked the way that that he summed his up. He's seeing these visuals with the trees. And I think he's the one who had the little wizard pop out, the gnome pop out of the tree. I can't remember at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay. And then at one point he woke up from the rain, looked out, and there's a silhouette created on the outside of the tree that represented a tree spirit, a man. And he says he had vision problems. And so the long story short, he says, while I was born blind in my right eye, I can see magic in my left. I love that. That's wonderful way of describing it.
I know. When I read that too the first time, I was like, whoa, that's amazing. And he is such an amazing soul. And he is also learned the power of wanting to share that with others, right? Because there are just certain of us, each of us have our own flavors in that connection with the natural realm. And you don't know until you go out and play, right?
Yes.
In that natural realm to see. And he is stepping into helping other people begin to see the spirits in nature that are there bringing us messages all the time.
There's one woman who put it, I thought, in a really good way of asking for this to manifest. And she said, dear fairies, I want you to know I'm not afraid. I believe in you. If you want to show yourself to me in any way, I would be truly happy. And that was for her to help combat her fear, because she all of a sudden realized, I'm not seeing them because I'm afraid and I don't know what I'm going to see. And so there's that barrier. And so this is her way of getting over that hurdle.
Yeah, I felt like that was such a practical piece of advice for all of us in the different ways, right? And we see that echoed with animals and people's connections. Until they gave, you know, the other beings permission to come in, they were respecting our free will and our boundaries. And if there was any, you know, threat of fear in there around, what are we going to see? What are we going to do? Of course, they're going to honor that and respect that. And I felt like that little prayer that she put out there, we could all apply as we're, whether it's, you know, with the crystals, with fairies, with the rocks or the trees, that all of us could apply that.
There are two or three stories in here that people deal with wind spirits. This is one that included the trees and the wind and the tornado, the nature, where the woman who lived in Nashville had this wonderful, beautiful mosaic stained glass that hung in her office, and it was a representation of the tree in the backyard. Tornado came, tree gone, crashed through the office, actually. But the amazing part was what she understood from other trees as she reconnected to that energy, talking about what happened and why, and realizing her boundary trees all gave themselves up to protect their property. Can you share more of that? Because that's a really astounding story.
Brooke's story about the tornado in Trinity, the tree, was so moving. And those of us who have this connection to nature, right? Like, we really suffer when we see catastrophes that are affecting the natural realm. And it gave her a different perspective, where these trees that were standing as, you know, like sentinels around her property, that they took the brunt of the force that was coming at her home while they're huddled, you know, in their basement. And houses around them that didn't have that protection were decimated. And that piece about the top part of the tree, right, of course, is removed. But there is a whole underground network, and that still survives. And as they replanted trees, we also know that that wisdom from Trinity the tree was able to give instructions and share with those new trees. So there's this piece about, you know, what do we do when life happens? That's not what any of us would want to see. And yet that message of that divine protection that was there, and how those energies continue and how we can continue to have a relationship with them.
There's just such a wonderful, diverse of the stories that you're telling. There's so many different kinds. Days go by. This woman is gazing into a stream, making a connection with the water. Finally, she has an extraordinary account. The face comes up from the haze out of the water. It becomes a being, an ancient spirit. This is Anne Marie Holmes. That's another fantastic engagement with the water spirit.
Yeah, and it reminds us that our impact, it matters. It matters to the water. It matters to the air. It matters to the earth, all of these elements, all of these aspects, and how we can begin, instead of being part of the problem, to be part of the solution, and to really also have those profound mystical encounters, and to stop dismissing them in our lives.
Again, Ana Maria Vasquez, multisensory animal and nature intuitive, the website intentiontraining.com, and the book Nature Divine Experiences with Trees, Plants, Stones, and Landscapes. Okay, this is the one where I think that they have a sense of humor. Tim the Tree, trying to describe how trees, you know, propagate gender fluidity, and said it was too complicated to explain. Go look it up.
They do have a great sense of humor. And I have found, and I feel like each of those stories really underscore this, that just like us, right?
Yeah.
Just like our animal friends, the nature has its own personalities, and they come through, and their willingness, right? Like, they're waiting for us to connect with them. And in that case, I love that, you know, he starts speaking to this guy, and this guy's like, what is going on here, right? And the tree had even said, people, you know, they don't know they can connect. And so it was such a fun story. And it reminds me, right, like, all of us all over the world are having these profound experiences, and we're either dismissing them or kind of keeping them quiet, right? A lot of private sessions with me start with, you're not going to believe what happened. And then they catch themselves and they're like, well, okay, maybe you'll believe me.
Yes, yes.
This is amazing.
I love that. Okay, so Tim the Tree, this is Australia. So it might be there that Aussie sense of humor, it was like, oi, oi. And the guy, Tim, you know, the guy, and this happens to be John Paul Eagleheart Fishback. And he's looking around trying to figure out who the heck, because it sounds like a male voice. And then finally he realizes he's staring eye to eye, face to face, tree to tree, whatever, however that works. Right in front of him, there's this tree. And the tree says its name is Tim. He's like, okay, right. Yeah, Tim, huh? He says, it's a name I like. And so I chose Tim. And so, okay, there you go, the introduction. And then he said, do you talk to people? I talk to them a lot. They don't really pay any attention. And one guy did talk to me, but then he never came back. And so you get the sense that Tim needs an audience. And he's happy to find one.
Yes, which is interesting, that piece about where they want to connect with us. That shows up in Karen Shea's story as well, about some trees on a property that they were going to be selling that home. And the tree asked, please find me someone who wants to interact.
Yeah.
And she did, right? Like, they called that in, and they knew that when the people said, well, we want to go check out the trees, they knew they had the buyer for the home. Yes. Right there, and that the tree was going to have an ongoing relationship with some more humans. So it's heartwarming, right, to think that they even could care less about connecting with us.
And that's what I think is beautiful in these stories, that there is that mutual interaction, that engagement, when you invest yourself, when you show up, when you reciprocate, and they see, okay, this is an engagement. This just isn't, you know, a monologue. There's another one, and this has to do with the healing aspect. And it's a Shamumama. I can't remember. It was an odd tree in South America, I believe. I think it has to do with an ayahuasca experience where the woman had a shoulder issue.
Chris Bachman.
Is that him? Okay, it's a guy. Chris Bachman, he had a shoulder issue. And this is really very unique, and you can share that one.
Yeah, you know, he wasn't even looking to heal the shoulder thing. You know, he had gone on the sacred journey with this plant medicine, for some general issues. And after the ceremony, he was outside and he was called to this big, I know I can't pronounce the tree either, this big, beautiful native indigenous tree. And it wasn't even like he went to go put his arms around. He was like Velcroed to the tree and he couldn't pull himself off. And finally, he's released, right? He kind of falls off the tree and he's trying to, you know, pull himself together. And he is noticing that there were two other men there, and he asked them if they saw what happened, and they said, we did. And this black energy came out of your shoulder, and we could visibly see it go up into the air and dissipate. And he was like, oh my gosh, they're right. My shoulder doesn't hurt. And it didn't, it never hurt after that. It was this piece where he was gifted this spontaneous healing in quite a dramatic way.
Nature, Divine Experiences with Trees, Plants, Stones, and Landscapes, Ana Maria Vasquez. So many of these stories have these other aspects, and we can call it magic because we don't have any other word for it. Okay, divine intervention, an anomaly, a mystery, whatever, it happens. And so to hear that happen for someone else, I think gives anyone who's listening the sense that this is possible and it's available to me too.
Yes. And even if we don't have the conscious thoughts about that, I've had a lot of feedback from folks who said just reading the book started creating these experiences. It like opened me up. I wasn't even asking for it, but these experiences start showing up. And that's the thing, that second part of the book is those stories to really inspire us and to open us up, right, to either remember experiences that we've had and to call in, you know, this next level of connection. And then the first and third parts of the book really help your mind start to understand and have something to munch on, right? Like, it explains the energetics and some of the mechanics of how this communication would even happen. How would you know it was happening? How do you move through this? And easy, grounded, practical things you can do, experiences you can have to elicit this, right? To remember your connection. So what I love about it is it's great for people who are brand new, who are like, well, I always love nature, but I just never thought about that next level of connection and back and forth dialogue, all the way up through the folks who've had this connection for a long time and are ready to go to the next level themselves, because it reminds us of things that we inherently know, but we may not remember that we know.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and there's some far out experiences too. There's one that talks about the tubes at Mount Shasta. That's a very unique experience.
That's a very unique experience as well, where that author had a divine experience with her car, right? Where her car starts almost like it's got that divine GPS, and she knows she's sitting behind it, but she doesn't feel like she's the one driving. And these tubes are really starting to hone her into where she needs to go to have this experience, to bring in this energy. But it reminds us that we're not doing this alone, right? We are absolutely in that give and take of energy. And it can be anything from, you know, the mundane in our life all the way to these bigger possibilities of expansion and ascension that so many of us are longing to have in our life. And that connection with aspects of nature creates the amplification for that to take place.
You wonder why I'm drawn here. And then if you're open and receptive, you can get information from possibly a tree, a nature spirit, an elemental. And you go into that, like you said, there are three parts of the book. And so the first part basically is your background and how you connect and the certain kinds of the ways that we can connect with nature. And then part two, that's where the storytellers share their own experiences and with rocks and trees and beings and the whole nine yards. And then part three, you suggest these are ways you can open up to the spirit plane with the other beings that we are surrounded by constantly. Actually, you know, we're in connection with them 24/7. We just don't always tune into that.
Yeah, it's really about, you know, moving nature from this backdrop in our lives to these allies, these powerful, potent allies for us to really have a different experience here on while we're on this planet. And when we are connected in that deep way, we live differently, just naturally. It's not even a trying. It's not a have to. It's none of that. It just is inherent how that happens. And the more of us that remember, right, this connection, this deep alliance, the better we're all going to live on this planet. And we have that possibility and this potential to create the new world.
This morning, as I'm preparing and thinking, okay, I've got this interview, I'm ready for it, I'm going to, you know, review the book and all that and get ready, get grounded. And I'm smelling these different fragrances and I'm thinking, what the heck? I've got a candle burning somewhere. What the heck? Why is this? And these aromas are just beautiful. They're exquisite. What am I doing? So I have a perfume around and I have a candle. I'm trying to smell. Is that it? No, it isn't. And I realize I'm getting encouragement. And these are the nature spirits in my own space. The flowers are all blooming. So I've got lilacs and I've got all sorts of stuff, you know, cropping up. And I'm thinking, you know what? This is my atta girl, go girl, you know, to say, you're going to have fun with this one. That's how I interpret it.
Absolutely, right? And like, again, they're like baiting you in, luring you into the energy. It's so beautiful. And the sweetness, right? We smell that sweet fragrance. And to remind us, this is it. Our connection with nature is that sweet spot.
And I also want to say, we talked about this before I started recording. When I was reading this, and I had glanced over it before, but of course I want to go back and be fresh on this. And so I'm reading, going through and outlining, this is what I want to talk about. That's what I need to mention this. I need to mention that. At the end of this whirlwind tour, I'm like, holy cow, I need to ground. I'm dizzy. I'm overwhelmed because of the types of energy I'm reading about and trying to do that, you know, that last minute crunch of, this is one you need to take slow, all right? Go out, sit in the yard for a bit after you've read two or three of the stories, or at least if you're like me and this is, you know, this energy stuff, it's like, whoa, this is like candy. So I'm sitting here buzz.
I know, right? like potato chips. How could you possibly have too many?
Yeah, okay. And I think, wow, I totally did not expect that. So it's like, this is a slam dunk book for me. I love it.
Oh, yay, that makes me so happy. And the truth is, right, it was nature telling me and these other authors, nature's story, bringing that through. And any, you know, I think that's phenomenal advice to take it slow. And I've heard it from other folks, too. You know, I felt like I wanted to go back and even reread pieces and really take them in before I moved on. If you find you take in too much, right, go out, sit with a tree, put your arms around a tree, connect with a rock, or just visualize yourself, right, connecting in to the earth and just really being held to help, because it's really high vibrations and it's just coming in so much. It's like when we first start meditating, right, we oftentimes just fall asleep because those high vibrations, they kind of take us out. It's another version of that, but eventually we acclimate to the energy. And, you know, that's part of that recalibration process. So you took the master's course in it.
Well, I have my own connection with energy and trees. And there's a sacred tree that I do that is my responsibility to monitor and take care and make sure this tree is protected. So I, from day one, that was, I saw that and okay. So there's that. I already have that sense of connection, of belonging, of needing to co-create and collaborate with nature. But the other thing, when we do this, there's a story that you also share about the little girl who's coming out to work with the horse, but she's intimidated by the horse. And so this is a wonderful way of basically making an introduction. The question is asked, would you go, this tree would like to help you with your fear. And you say, can you come over and would you like to hug the tree? And the little girl hugs the tree. And then she's able to go see the donkeys who aren't quite as big as the horse and make the connection, but the tree takes her fear away. That's a great story.
Well, in that piece where she learns then to do that any other time in her life, right? Mm-hmm. If you get scared anywhere else from here, go hug a tree. And we forget, I mean, it's so basic, whether we're five or whether we're 95, that connection to nature is so sourcing for us when we're in those low vibrations, you know, when they show up because we're human. It's part of the experience and remembering how to deal with it. This is part of the journey. But when those low vibrations come up, we're not victims to them. We can do something, right? And through connecting with the tree, we, any of us, can work to transmute that energy. And these are so simple, right? It's so simple. And we just have to remember. And like you said, it feels like a giant aha when you're reading through it, because it's like, mm-hmm. Well, of course, of course, this is what, you know, we can do while we're here.
And it isn't just for the little, you know, the little teeny tiny crisis. It's even a time of where your life is and in peril, and this is living and dying. There's a story that has to do with somebody almost drowning in a canoe accident or a kayak, water, river, boat ride, and got the turned out of the boat, and then all of a sudden caught up in the river. And during that entire time, there's are sometimes when we panic, then we fight instead of saying, how can I get through this, or allowing? And that's what happened in this particular instance. You know about that one.
Yeah, that's a really dramatic story, right? Like, oh my gosh, and he thinks he's going to be able to swim himself out of this. And he realizes, oh my gosh, I can't. I'm beyond exhausted. I'm beyond fried. I can't do one more stroke. And the thought enters, oh, this is it. And he goes under. And he stops the fight because he's got no more fight. He didn't have a choice anymore. He could not stop the fight. And all of a sudden, he moves from, you know, this 3D underwater realm to these geographic shapes start to show up, you know, in his vision behind his closed eyes. And he's getting more and more curious about what's going on there. And all of a sudden, in that surrender, he is popped up out of the water right next to someone who can reach in and pull him out.
Yeah.
And the message that comes from river and water, right, about being in the flow. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a dramatic way. And hopefully none of us have to experience that. We can just simply learn that when we're in that resistance, it's calling for our surrender.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, yeah, it was a beautiful way and very literal way of showing how that works. But that's a trust. It's also, you know, knowing that everything here, if we can allow it and integrate, has our best interest at heart. Now, that sounds like that's just candy coating something. And my belief is that in some way, shape, or form, I'm here to learn, and everything here has my best interest at heart because that's what I was born to see. And if I allow myself to see that, it presents itself. So that's how I address it. Each person is different. But for me, these stories remind us that we have help at any given time. We just have to stop judging and devaluing the sources around us and say, I know you're here and you're sacred. How can you show me how to have a better perspective on my world and my reality and my creation? And that's what they do.
We get so forgetful, and we think we have to do it by ourselves. And, you know, there is no award at the end if you do it all by yourself. Yeah. I checked, and there isn't. and so it reminds us, right, we have this free will. Nothing's going to interfere, but as soon as you give that invitation and you open yourself, even, you know, I talk about in my story with Ruby, right, like I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if this is going to help. You know, if you can take even the small grain of possibility and hope that I have that maybe this could work and really help me open up. And they do, right? I've learned time and time again that it's about us being authentic, just showing up. It's not about love and lighting everything. That there's merit to that. There's a time and place. But when we're in it, whatever it is in our life, for us to be authentic, to show up with it, and to see what else could happen here, what else could be possible, what other possibilities can I open up to, and how can you, tree and rock and mountain or river, how can you assist me and how can I assist you for both of us to be an expansion?
And you work with clients too. This is where you had an experience and all of a sudden you were smelling a campfire camp in the middle of a session with somebody and how you related it to what that meant.
Well, it's so funny, right? Because, you know, when I'm in my office and I'm doing my sessions, they're all remote sessions. And they're just the experiences that happen, the things that show up in this office are just unbelievable, and those beyond kinds of pieces. So I'm in this session with a client and I'm smelling like a campfire, like there's fire. I mean, I like literally stood up and looked around because I was like, that is just so strong, and nothing, no explanation why I would be smelling that. And all of a sudden I get it. It's the element of fire talking to her. She had lost her spark. She was just going through the motions, and the element of fire was showing up saying, come on, we got to get that passion burning again. And when I shared it with her, it resonated and she got it, and she was able to shift with the assistance of that element of fire, shift those circumstances and shift what was happening in her life. We just need to ask, you know, to be in that co-creation with the natural realm. And it becomes fun, right? Like it becomes that living laboratory where we're playing in the energy, but at a whole different level.
One of the things, segments that you're talking about, it talks about shifting your frequency, elevating your frequency. And I think the tendency for us humans is to think that we are somehow at a higher frequency all by ourselves, and these animals and other beings around us aren't right here. And when it's just the opposite, when we're kind of, you know, lower level entity with all of our baggage, our drama and our, you know, expectations and all of that, and we have to shift to that higher love energy where animals are quite, you know, they're already complete. They don't have to have soap operas.
Right. It's so true. We just, it's dense here. We forget what's going on with that. And that part of recalibrating our energy, and, you know, it's just dense here and it's easy to get distracted, right? By headlines and what we're seeing and the possibilities and all that. And if we would just connect in, we would see that there's a different way to do this.
When you began working with animals, was that how you knew that was your life's calling, or was this other little tangential thing like, oh my gosh, there's more to this than just connecting with the animals?
It was that piece, there's more going on than meets the eye. And how can I experience and understand that? And how can I help other people experience that? Because again, it's great that I can do it. You know, it's super fun. I'm the most interesting person in the room. But then it goes even beyond that to all of us are wired. We are nature. Inherently, we're wired to do this. And so it means more to me to help the other humans remember that this is a possibility, that this is a way to move through this and have these deep, profound connections, and in turn, these amazing mystical experiences, but that all of us can do this.
Part three, that's where you talk about the forest bathing, the stone gazing, herb baths, and working with a medicine wheel. What would you suggest to get started or to reconnect?
You know, just go outside. It's the first thing, right? If you can just be outside, you know, 5 to 30 minutes and follow the nudges, right? Are you being drawn to that tree or to that rock? Just get yourself outside. And then you can be in your process after that. And the last piece of the book actually is an appendix that has the symbology of different rocks and trees and plants that I commonly work with in my own practice to kind of, you know, prime the pump for you to create your own symbology, your own understanding of the energetics of the different aspects of nature that you may encounter or that you may be working with.
When someone reads this book and they have their own transcendent moment with one of these stories, it's just that, like you mentioned before, that aha moment that says, wow, this is real. This is real. So you don't even have to have the belief. If you read the story and get that information, all of a sudden it kind of pops into the possibility that these things are happening for other people, means that they can happen for all of us.
Yes, like that just makes my heart blow wide open, because when we're in that possibility, because what do we need more than anything on this planet right now is the possibility of something different to change the course. And for each of us in our own life, as well as the collective, it moves us into inspired action. The more that we're connected with the natural realm and we remember who we truly be. And then I got to tell you, there's this just, it's fun, right? Like it's fun to have these experiences. Yes. It's fun to have this connection. I am now the person who, you know, I used to be the one who was like texting my best girlfriend right away, right? When something amazing happened in my life. Now I'm out in the trees, right? I'm running out to the trees to tell them different things. And then I'll text everybody else. So I'll find out eventually. But that's my main source. That's my family. That's my kin. And we all have that connection with the natural world.
If you're listening, do not expect that we covered all of the stuff here. All right. There's more stuff about crystals and communication that we didn't have time to cover. This is just the overview, the highlights. And then you also do readings and you connect with people remotely as well.
Yeah, and I teach classes, right? So when you dive into the book and you're like, oh my gosh, I'd love to know more about rocks or the trees or the medicine wheel or whatever, I also offer courses on all of these topics. And that was fun, really distilling down the essence, you know, of each aspect and sharing that so that people can really get in and have these experiences themselves.
This is a fantastic compilation of stories, including your own. And so for anyone who wants to connect with you, intentiontraining.com. And you also have a line of CBD oil for you and your animals, for us and our animals. I'll say it that way.
Yes. And of course, right? It's not just normal, you know, it is. We also have recorded the music coming from the mother plants, and we play it, or my grower plays it to the babies so that they remember that they're this healing plant to work with the human. So not only are you working with the plant medicine itself in the form of the CBD, but there's harmonics, and anyone who purchases my CBD gets recordings of that plant music that they can play to help activate that healing plant power in themselves. It's pretty phenomenal.
That's excellent. That is excellent.
Isn't that wild?
Yes. Okay, so real quickly, when they're playing this music, what is this like?
Well, you know, when I the first time I heard it, it sounds a little alien, right? It's not like a symphony like we hear, you know, what we could compose. It's these different tones, and they come through. But I will tell you, every time I hear it, it moves me emotionally. And what they found in a study in an Italian hospital is that patients who were exposed to the plant music were released from the hospital on average 3 days sooner. And what's fascinating about that, which got me going, oh my gosh, we have to record the cannabis plant here, was those were house plants. Nothing against house plants,
yeah,
right? But
yeah,
what if we, you know, recorded plants that have that medicinal value,
yes,
and we directed that, and that's what really got the, you know, the wheels turning in there. And I really believe it was the plants, right? Like guiding me in and saying, okay, if this, then that, here's another way. And we already know they're saying energy medicine is the medicine of the future. We just saw a report come out that said using frequencies, they were able to put cancer cells into apoptosis. So frequencies, harmonics from a plant, imagine how that can help, you know, the pain that you or your animal is going through.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's the future.
Amazing, yes.
Okay.
And we have access to it now.
I think that is absolutely amazing. I like the fact that you're going in that direction. And I'm sure this is just, you know, the tip of the iceberg. You'll continue to expand that as you learn more and connect more with your plant energies.
Absolutely. I'm always, and the book was a prime example about what do you want us to know, right? Tree, river, rock, plant. What is it that we need to know, not what does Anna Maria want to tell you? What does a plant want us to know? Because this is ancient wisdom that we're just remembering we have access to.
Do you have any plans to work with more medicinal plants in this way?
Yeah, the comfrey plant is a great plant. And again, I'll just, me and some other folks who have the different recordings, you know, we've used them. The pinyon pine is one of my favorite ones for physical healing, but also when we're needing some, again, ancient wisdom. The cedar tree is another favorite one as we're working with possibilities like manifesting in our lives, magic, right? Like how can we bring more magic into our lives? And anything with the pinyon pine, again, is going to be so sourcing for the body. I've had folks tell me just hearing it reduced pain that they had been experiencing. So we don't even know what we don't know about this next level of working with the plants.
Okay, well, this is a start. All right, so yay.
Yeah.
Yay, we're out of the starting blocks. Thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for all that you're doing. And I'm looking forward to seeing where you're going with this.
Yes, thank you for creating a beautiful platform where we can have these soulful conversations. It means so much, and I'm so honored that you were so moved by the book.
I was, and I am. I'm still going to read it again. The book, again, Nature, Divine Experiences with Trees, Plants, Stones, and Landscapes. The website is this very easy, intentiontraining.com, or Facebook, Animals as Messengers on Facebook.
Links are posted in the description for the show, and I also have more information on my blog, TalkingToNightLights.com, and that's the host site for Wendy's Coffee House and my book, Talking to Night Lights 2, and other information that I think is really cool and fun and informative. One-stop shopping. Thanks for listening.